And we've come to the final week this week, every job of a parable. And we've been learning through these short teachings each week, but mostly, I think, through these interviews with these special guests we've had each week about how God can speak to us through our work, and also how God can reveal himself to others through our work. So each week we've looked at a chapter in the grand narrative of Scripture and how each one of these chapters has implications for our work. In week one, I talked about creation. And so we talked about how God has made all things. In the beginning, God worked. He gave human beings work to do. The work of caring for the earth, the work of cultivating the earth. And, example that I thought of is the work of a geologist, right? Is the work of a geologist is a parable when God reveals himself through the gifts that he's placed within the earth. A geologist discovers these precious gifts of metal and minerals and fossil fuels and recognizes that they are there to aid our sustenance and flourishing. And in that way, right, a geologist's work can be a parable. Week two, we talked about the fall. And we talked about how sin distorts all things, and our work is no exception. Sins like pride and greed and gluttony and anger and sloth, lust, envy, all the sins can keep us from experiencing God at work and can distort the good intentions of our work. So I think of when Mark Dreyer in 2009 set up a Ponzi scheme and stole millions of dollars from investors. He revealed how sinful one can be in their work. His desire to be successful and respected distorted his work and impoverished thousands. Week three, last week, we talked about redemption. That God is saving all things. And Jesus came not just to rescue souls, but all of creation. And so when we consider our vocational work in the world, we want to be developing this skill of being able to name God's saving and rescuing presence in the experience of our work. And I really enjoyed Rena's friend Claudia last week and how she shared about her work in ICBC. How many of you guys appreciated that? I really appreciated her little story about how God revealed to her that in her work of helping those who are homeless or marginalized get identification actually results in helping them access other essential resources. And in that way, she was seeing how her job was a parable and God was speaking to her through it. I think it's so amazing. And here we are. So here we are in week four, our final chapter of the grand narrative of Scripture, restoration. The chapter that we read about that God will make all things new. This is all about our future hope. I'm going to throw a passage here in the chat. Revelation 21, the last chapter of the Bible. We read, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, come down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from every eye. There will be no death, no mourning, no crying, no pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' And he who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" That is our future hope. As Christians, we believe that we know the end of the story that we're in. And the end is that God wins, right? Jesus returns. And that this earth will be renewed and restored. Knowing the ending of the story changes our present now, our present circumstances. Have you guys ever watched a movie? And it ends completely different than you expected. Never happened to you? You could throw examples in the chat if you want. I remember the first time I watched David Fincher's movie called Zodiac. And it's this movie that's about a journalist who becomes obsessed with trying to solve who is the Zodiac killer, a serial killer. And spoiler alert, it's been out for a long time, so I don't feel bad. In the end of the movie, nobody catches him. That's how it ends. And I love like murder movies, mysteries, you know, because they resolve in the ending and you know, you get the satisfaction with the resolve. But no, not this movie. The killer isn't caught. And after I watched the movie, I realized what the director was saying all the way through the movie. Now that I know the end of it, I understand that actually the movie, he was trying to talk about evil and he was saying that evil is real and present in our world. He was talking about the main character, his obsession over, you know, trying to solve this case. And as a result, the main character, you know, he loses his wife and he barely sees his kid and he has no friends. He has no life. He gave his life's work to the wrong thing. But I only got that. I only understood that once I knew the ending. Knowing how the story ends changes how we understand the story, how we understand the middle of the story. And that's why Easter is so important, because Easter has changed everything. We're getting ready, right? We're in Lent right now. We're counting down to Easter. And Jesus not only defeated death at Easter, but it was a sign of a restored and renewed creation. In Easter, we see that we discover that Jesus is alive. Jesus has a new body. And that new body is significant because it is the foretaste of what God intends to do with all of creation. So just like Jesus has a new body, we can have that future expectation that we all will, that all of creation will be renewed and restored in some way. So how does this future hope affect how we experience God in our work now? Well, I think one, it gives us this sense, it gives us this hope that there's continuity with our work, that our work does matter, and it might even have, you know, matter eternally. Just like Jesus has a new body post-resurrection, it gives us this hope that maybe our work will have some sense of continuity in the future kingdom to come. It also gives us hope for justice from our work. I think so often we can feel like our work is fleeting or maybe doesn't get the right attention or it doesn't get it the right fulfillment. God's intention is to set the world right. And so in Jesus' resurrection, in our future hope, we have this ultimate hope that ultimate justice will work out. I think of especially those who work in the area of justice, like a lawyer maybe who's working hard to prove that someone's guilty, but they get off scot-free. And you wonder, hey, well, where's the justice in that? Where's the value in all of his work? But as Christians, we believe that there's ultimate justice, that indeed justice will prevail ultimately. And then lastly, it gives us hope that our work has meaning, right? I mean, so many of you will start your first job in a lower position, right? In an entry level position. You might not get the kind of job that you hope you will have for a long time or that you've been aspiring to. Some of us will struggle doing work that we don't even really want to do. And sometimes we wonder, what is the significance of our work? But see, even the most unassuming job is not without value. It can't be because of what we've been learning throughout this whole series, because God is present. If God is present with us, then it has value. It has intention. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 14 says, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken away from it. One of the saints, Irenaeus, said, with God, nothing is empty of meaning. But that doesn't mean that we can always see what God is doing. And that's partly our challenge. Sometimes our own vision is blurred, right? our hearts, our eyes, our minds, we they aren't focused as they should be. We aren't, you know, attending to our work with God's eyes or God's perspectives. We live in a world, as we learn, we live in a world that is bent, corrupt, not as it should be. And we live in a world that often underestimates or devalues or ignores our contributions. And the reality is we are all finite, right? Therefore, we have a finite view of things, including our work. But God is not, right? God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. He is able to see the long view and see how it all plays out together. And so God might be accomplishing things through your work that you have no idea about. And even when we can't see where our work in, it's possible that our work matters because it's part of God's greater plan. God sees you at work even if no one else does. So God has given us good work to do. He is revealing himself to us through his work. We just need to have open eyes, pay attention, seeing our work through the lens of the grand narrative of Scripture, to see it through creation, fall, redemption, restoration, and to believe that in the end, God is making all things new. Amen? Amen. Well, as our tradition over this series, I want to invite John and Melissa, there they are, to share with us some like real life examples of what we're talking about. So let me introduce you to my friends, John and Melissa. Hello.
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 How you guys doing?
Yeah, good to join you today.
Good, good. So John and Melissa are UCM alumni. So they both studied at UBCO. When I arrived here in Kelowna, my first year, John was in leadership, was kind of on his way out. I think that was your final year, right, John?
I think so. That's about right.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And then, or maybe it was your second last. I can't remember.
I think it was my second last year. I think I was there for 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I did see in your last year, a girl came along in our ministry, got involved in music, and oh, there she is, sitting right next to you.
Hi, it's me.
See, this is why you guys should volunteer to help out with the worship group. You never know what's going to happen. John recently joined my board. John and Melissa both live in my neighborhood. We both attend the same church, so I'm really happy to have them here tonight. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves a little bit? Tell us a bit about yourselves and your work. What do your jobs look like?
Yeah.
Thank you, James. And it's great to be here virtually this evening with all of you. Brings back many great memories for us. You know, it's just quite special. And I think, James, you kind of already gave a little introduction on who we are. So, but certainly UCM has been a big part of our lives and our university days, especially, and really formative in that stage of our life. And, you know, we met each other there. And so that's just really special for us. But yeah, so just like kind of a bit about myself, and then I'll let Melissa introduce kind of herself as well. But from a career and work perspective, so my degree was in electrical engineering. So proud to be from UBC Okanagan. I was the second cohort to go through the program. So in commemoration of that, they finished the engineering school after I was done, or the engineering building after I was done. So for all the engineers here on the call or on the Zoom here, you're very lucky to be in world-class facilities instead of in portables. But so electrical engineer, I work in the consulting area. So I lead a team of about... work in all kinds of areas in the power and telecom area. I just see on our screen, it says our internet connection's unstable. So
Yeah, if you could just repeat yourself, John, I think we lost you for a sec. You said the last we heard was you work with a
Oh,
team.
yeah, no worries. So, yeah, I said our internet connection is unstable there. But, yeah, I work with a team. I lead a team of about 30 engineers and designers. So we do work in power and telecom industry, mainly in BC here. And I'll hand it over to Melissa.
Yeah, so I grew up here in Kelowna, in West Kelowna. I went to UBC Okanagan, UCM, met Jonathan, we got married. We ended up moving out to Saskatoon right after we got married, pretty much. So I transferred over there. Finished my bachelor's in microbiology and immunology, and then continued on to do my master's in microbiology and immunology. So I defended my thesis at Vito Intervac, so the vaccine center, a really cool facility. I defended my thesis when I was around 6 to 7 months pregnant with Isaac, our toddler. Then we moved back to Kelowna August 2019. So currently I'm a stay-at-home mom with our two-year-old Isaac and very pregnant with our second. We're due in 2 weeks or less. So I may go into microbiology or science communication at some point, but right now I've been really enjoying the basics, like making good food and getting outside, watching and guiding Isaac's learning, doing the arts related sort of things that I put aside during my master's. So I've done some painting and sewing commissions recently. And yeah, it's been pretty fun.
Cool. Good, good. First question for you guys. So we've been talking about this theme, right, of work. And how do we experience God in our work and our callings and our vocations? And just like before we get into our big questions, I just wanted to ask you guys, when you guys went to university, when you're studying what you're studying, was it on your mind? Were you thinking about God? Were you thinking about how does God relate to electrical engineering or microbiology? What was your thought back then?
Let me go. Sure. It's going back a while now. It feels like, even though it wasn't that long, but time goes by quickly. You know, certainly I remember kind of contemplating these questions. And I think, you know, it's kind of like the question, what do you want to do when you grow up? Who do you want to be when you grow up? And how is God going to relate to that? You know, that's a question that you ask yourself in high school, in university, when you graduate, when you have your first job, when you're stuck in your first job, when you're in your second job, you know, like this question keeps coming back, you know, how does God relate to your work? And so, you know, I think for me, it's something that, yeah, it crossed my mind in university. You know, for me, career has often been about providing for family. And that's been, you know, I see a lot of meaning in that. And I see that that's an important part for me. And relating to God actually is that role. I think the other piece too is like the something that's really tied to career and work is finance, and that's another way that I have always seen you know, that connection to faith and to God is using the results of the work to benefit the kingdom. So that's kind of always been my perspective on that.
Yeah. And then I'm really glad that Jonathan actually thought about that kind of stuff, because I think of myself as a very present person. So I didn't think about vocation and my future much at all. So my options right out of high school were that I was either going to go and do a missions Bible school in Central America, or I was going to go to UBC Okanagan. And I chose the accredited option. Because I figured that whatever I ended up doing in the future was probably going to be in Canada and probably was going to be missional anyways. So I figured that what it was that I was going to do didn't matter as much as how I did it, with faith, ethics, creativity, love for others, seeing value in others, and openness. So I kind of accidentally ended up in sciences, and I thought I was going into arts, but I didn't quite understand how to switch. It's easy, but I enjoyed the classes and I liked my colleagues that I was studying with. So I didn't switch, and then eventually just followed my interests into biology and then microbiology. So, and then I always retained the creative side. So that followed me into my master's and beyond, I guess. And I didn't think about becoming a mother very much either, even though it's a very big life thing. And I didn't think of it as a vocation until I was in it. So I knew it mattered because I saw how my parents turned their broken families and past through God's redemption into a really good upbringing for my brother and I. Yeah, and I guess looking forward to our future as parents, I hope I understand how God compassionately disciplines, loves, supports, and surrounds us and leads us to learning. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Already seeing, you know, you're already moving forward into our next couple questions, but I love how both of you kind of admitted and sort of like, it's very true for a lot of people, I think, is for a lot of Christians, when they think of their future vocations, maybe we're raised in a church that really elevates like, hey, the most important thing, the most urgent thing is to evangelize, right? To share the gospel, to be on mission. And so we often are challenged to think of that vocation first, right? And I kind of heard that a little bit with you. I mean, I know the church you came out of, Melissa, too, and right, is that idea of like, hey, we should think about that first, right? And then John, too, on the other side, too, sort of that traditional way of like, hey, the best way I can serve God is make a lot of money and tithe a lot, right? but what I want to dig into, which I know you guys have put thought into this, is that... that you can fulfill your mission and calling a vocation through the areas of electrical engineering and microbiology, and also the special asterisk being a mom right now. So talk to me about, I know you guys have reflected on this a bit, talk to me about how God actually reveals himself to you in that concrete work that you're doing today. Like, why does that work matter? How does God speak to you through that work? Why does that work matter?
Yeah. So there's the obvious like creator creativity link. So I through my microbiology side of my career so far, that has been an asset to be able to see, and a distraction in some ways. So being able to see and be a creative person allowed me to do lots of really neat things, like a filmed publication format in agar art, science communication. Practical policy change making sort of program, which was really neat. But I looked at community a bunch through some really neat papers that describe inbuilt systems that benefit. Communities of microbes, so like coexisting microbiomes, resource sharing, and geospatial microbiology. So we as Christians have a lot to learn from microbial behavior, I think. And I thought that was really neat. Maybe I'll write a book someday about it. Who knows? I also have considered that goodness and brokenness can exist in the same virus or bacterium. We can participate in God's redemption and healing through things like vaccine development, drug development, public health measures that bring healing to people. And research is really cool because it's a privilege to unwrap beautiful, complex, creative design that's in microbes and genetics and share it with the world. So being able to see God's design in a new way is pretty privileged. And then with my parenthood side of things, this is the coolest job. I get to rediscover God's creation through my 2-year-old's eyes. He has a really weird world going on there. I get to see what it's like to guide and discipline something I know that God's done for me. And loving is the Lord's work. Also, I'm going into labor soon, which is the holy work of bringing another new life up to breathe the same air that we breathe and that God with us breathed. So that's where I see God in my work. Yeah.
So articulate. Thank you, Melissa. That is amazing.
I think for me, like as far as seeing God in my work, you know, Melissa and I have very different worlds in some ways when it comes to career. But yeah, you know, I think about meaningful work and then I think about meaningful relationships. And, you know, in the engineering world, I think the meaningful work piece often comes to the forefront. But for me, it's actually about the relationships and the people that we interact and the people that we touch. And that's where I see God like the most. Through my work is the people, you know, it's all different people that you interact with, that I interact with at work, whether it's coworkers or people like our clients, our suppliers. And the meaningful work is really like this venue. I see it as this venue where we're interacting with other people. And through that, it's those relationships that you see God at work, that I see God at work, you know, people who go and put others first, who, you know, are passionate about what they do, and you see God at work through them in their creativity. So I really see that relationship side being one of the biggest areas that I see God alive in at work.
Awesome. That's great. As we close here, any stories, any examples that you have of how you've imaged God or how God is put on display through your work?
I'm not really sure about stories, but from the different sort of things that I've done and am doing. Yeah, and I guess I mentioned that with research, it shows God's design. So you're kind of making an image that we can understand and read of God's design in parenthood, motherhood. Right now, I guess I need to model grace, mercy, kindness, all of those things. I'm not sure how these kind of tie in very much, but I find humor every day. And I think God gives us that, and also he's kind of funny. Like who makes a flower in the shape of a bee to attract bees to the flower to make more flowers? Or like, I don't know, just But finding humor every day, I think, is really a good practice, and it's a good practice when you're a parent. So Isaac finds everything and puts it on as a shoe, and that's just great. Including his own toilet bowl, which that's great. And then also, I guess, like creating an image of community in our community, a true image of the Trinity, or like God lives in community. It's something I haven't really fully formed of an idea, but when we came back here to Kelowna, I really wanted to be a hinge point, someone who is waiting at an empty table for others to join us, creating space for others to find belonging at, rather than trying to seek belonging. And I think the same way that God is in community with himself in the Trinity, and he invites us to belong in his family, I want to do the same thing here.
Awesome. Great picture. Well, thank you guys so much for being our guests tonight. John, do you have any last words? Do you guys have any last advice for our students? Am I cutting you off? John, did you have anything you wanted to say?
I think that's great, James, and it's really great to be here this evening. I mean, yeah. We could probably talk, but it's really great. Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, well, thank you guys so much for carving out some time to be with us. I know that's privileged time with you guys. You have full lives, and we are thinking of you, Melissa, over these next couple of weeks here, so. All right. Well, I'm just going to close up in a word of prayer, and then I'm going to pass it off to our MC, and we'll send everybody into some breakouts. So let me just pray with us as we close. So thank you, Father, for tonight, and thank you for all this great wisdom that we've received tonight through John and Melissa, through your word, through this open mic testimony time. God, we have taken much from this series, and we've heard much about how we can pay attention to you in the midst of our work. So I pray this is planting seeds in the minds of students as they're in the midst of studying and preparing for their future vocations. And I pray that they're doing the good work now of this vocational imagination and seeing how you, imagining how you could work through their lives and such a large part of their lives that they give to their work. So thank you, Jesus. And I just pray for our discussion time, that it might be fruitful as we debrief with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.